Thank the Lord for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Always has got the job done, always will get the job done. Amen. I want to say echo with Brother Rick. I thank the Lord for this honor and privilege to stand in this pulpit. Appreciate Brother Allen. Appreciate this church with a desire to follow their pastor and a desire to proclaim the Word and encourage the flock of God, the remnant of God, in God's truth. And I assure you, if anything of any value, anything of any worth has been said in these moments, these days, certainly in my portion of the conference, it has been by Him and in Him and through Him. And He gets all the glory and the praise for it. Amen. But glad to see you again today. Glad to see my daughter. My daughter is with me this morning. Appreciate you praying for my wife and my mother-in-law. She is in the hospital, and a parent may be headed to the nursing home. So I'd appreciate you remembering us. I want to ask you to turn with me, Will, again to the book of Philippians today. Philippians chapter 2. I went to bed with chapter 4 on my heart, but woke up feeling like we need to come back to chapter 2. You may say, well, after 4 days, you ought at least be able to get past chapter 2. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Paul says in the first verse of chapter 3 that it's not grievous unto him to write again what he's already written. So 3 and 4 is just Paul repeating in a little different angle, a little different way, what he has already declared in chapter 1 and 2. I believe, though, the book of Philippians is a call to enjoy joy. We have tried to consider the source of joy. It is Christ, not circumstances. That deals in the realm and the level of happiness. We've tried to magnify a word or two about the spirit of joy. And then yesterday we tried to say a word here from the middle portion of this second chapter about the subjection of joy. Here in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12 and following, I believe Paul gets to what is very well maybe the most practical part of the entire book. Paul tells us to live this life of joy. But in these verses, he tells us how we can live such a life. For a moment or two, and I'm well aware of the hour, and I'm well aware you're ready to go eat, and I'm ready to go eat, and if you'll listen fast, I'll try to preach fast for a moment or two. But from verses 12 through 16 this morning, I want to try to say something about the simpleness of joy. There is a simple way to so live that you and I can enjoy joy. Stand with me, if you will, again in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pause right there. I'm not going to deal with it this morning. You can just let the Bible say what the Bible says.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The issue here is not salvation. He doesn't say work for. He doesn't say work toward salvation. But he just simply says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, working out what God works in. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's what has been going on here this morning in these days together. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And the Lord, for His name's sake, will bless His good word. You may be seated. I want to write quick. Note 4 simple thoughts, 4 simple pictures that Paul gives us that identify for us how you and I can enjoy joy. They're simple. It is the simpleness of joy. He says in these verses, in essence, that we ought to obey as servants. You say, preacher, there's been a lot of talk. You've talked a lot about being a servant this week. I thought you was talking about joy. Oh, yes, you'll never, ever know joy, have joy, and enjoy joy apart from that spirit of service and a life of servanthood. That's right. They just simply needed to obey as a servant. In fact, Paul notes for them, they needed to be more conscious about obeying in his absence as they were, even more so than they were when he was present. Now, Paul was not on the scene, but God was always on the scene. So Paul is encouraging them to obey as servants. Can I remind you this morning, Christianity is not a spectator sport. I know a lot of Baptists that think it's a spectator sport where you pull in and park for a little while on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, or even Bible conference time, and just become a spectator. No, 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 no. This thing of serving is involves participation, and this thing of serving the Lord and knowing His joy simply involves obeying as a servant, listening to sermons, listening to hymns, sitting in a Sunday school class, coming to Bible conference for 4 days out of the week. Oh no, that does not mean you have obeyed the Lord. Obeying the Lord is simply submitting to Him and doing that which He has said in His Word. We must obey, and I remind you, Christ obeyed as a servant. He took that form upon Him as we touched on yesterday. Christ obeyed as a servant in every area, in every realm of His life. Our Lord obeyed and obeyed fully, and He obeyed in death, and we sure enough ought to at least obey in life. Hear me this morning, it's very simple. You'll never have joy, enjoy joy, apart from obedience and obeying as a servant. Oh my. But now notice what he says. We're to obey. We're to obey with fear. We're to obey with fear and trembling. We're to obey with fear and trembling now. Some goober-headed preachers have made people think that God's in heaven. He's ready to stomp. He's ready to pounce on someone from this text. No, that's not the idea. The idea is holy reverence. The idea is holy awe. And oh my, I know I didn't do much of a job at it yesterday, but oh my, if one who was so high would come so low, you and I who are low to start with ought not ever try to sin to be high. Oh my, our Lord who was high became low and obeyed as a servant. And in light of that, you and I ought to have honor. You and I ought to have respect. You and I ought to have reverence. In fact, Dwight Pentecost says the idea here is a passion to please, a passion to honor Him, a passion to obey Him. If you're going to know joy, have joy, enjoy joy, you must obey as a servant. I'll tell you, that's how simple it is. Obeying as a servant. Then in verses 14 and 15, you and I must live as sons. We must live as sons. That's what Paul mentions. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. He's saying you ought to behave like a son. You ought to live like him or her, that person you claim to be. You ought to live like a child of God. If you're a child of God this morning, you ought to live like one, dress like one, behave like one, but believe as a son. Because you see, when you're trying to live like somebody else, you're not going to know joy. No, you're probably not even going to get in much on happiness. But the way you have joy and know joy and enjoy joy is by living as the son, the daughter of God that He has made you to be. Living as a son. Now here's what it means. It means we live in humility. It It means we live in humility. That's what he's talking about in these verses. So that we may be seen as blameless. As blameless, that ye may be blameless. A life which cannot be honestly criticized. Now that pile of folks out there, they're going to get their own rocks. You and I ought to so live, we don't hand them a rock. They folks out there going to blame you and me for everything, including the stock market and everything else. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about you and I, we're to so live that no one can honestly and legitimately bring an accusation against us. That's how you live as a son that knows the joy of the Lord. You live in humility. It involves living in harmony. It involves living a harmless life, that ye may be blameless and harmless. So living a life that it does not cause others to criticize the Father.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about there, living blameless and harmless. We are so in harmony with God and in one with one another, that none can bring an accusation, none can criticize our Lord and Savior. Living a life that doesn't cause others to stumble. Living a life that doesn't cause others to criticize and doubt. Then could I say it means living a life not just in humility and a life not just in harmony and harmlessness, but in a life of holiness. Holiness. He says here, without rebuke, living a life without rebuke. The idea literally is blemish. Living in such a way that that we don't have blemishes in our lives, so that there can be no rebuke, that we're pursuing holiness. That's what it means to live as an honorable son or as an honorable daughter, so that we bring no shame upon our Lord. Heard a little illustration of the girl that was hanging out with some gals, and there's getting ready to go off and do something, and she knew she ought not go, and she knew she ought not be involved in that. So she said she wanted to go, and she turned around, and she was making her way back to the house. And they began to taunt her, and they said, "Why, what are you afraid of? You afraid your daddy will find out? You afraid your daddy will hurt you?" She said, "Oh no," turned around and said, "Oh no, I'm not afraid my daddy'd find out and hurt me. I'm afraid my daddy'd find out and I'd hurt him." That's the kind of life Paul is talking about. That's that life that pursues holiness. That's that kind of life that seeks to live selfless. The selfless life, the blameless life, the life that lives in holiness. Oh my, that's what it means to live as an honorable son and daughter. And Paul notes two things right here that hinders living as such a son, living as such a daughter. He notes two key things that hinder such a life. He mentions this thing of murmuring and disputings in verse 14. Now, murmuring means just exactly what it sounds like. It is exactly what it sounds like. That's an onomatopoeia word. Don't ask me to spell it. I know I didn't even probably pronounce it right, but that's what it is. It has that same meaning as that which it sounds. Now, get this. To murmur, I don't care what it's about. I don't care who it's about or what it's about. To murmur, you must focus on the circumstance. To murmur, you must focus on the situation. That automatically limits you to the level of happiness. You're not going to get anywhere above happiness if you're focused on the circumstances and the situations of life. Positive, negative, it does not matter. But to murmur is to be focused upon the situations. But then he mentions this second thing. He says, do all things. By the way, that's what it means. All things without murmurings and disputings. You know, several things have been mentioned. throughout the course of the week, that's hard to tell. Believers from unbelievers and everything else. I'll tell you, that's often even hard to tell at the gas pump. If we're not careful, we'll cuss and murmur just as much as the other fella. He said, "Well, now, preacher, that surely cannot apply." Well, what? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. But now, this thing of disputings, what is it? It is a discussion with others. It is a bickering, but here's what it is. Hang with me. Disputing takes place with agreeing parties. So what, preacher? There's a dispute. There's got to be some disagreement in there. Disputing takes place with agreeing parties, at least two agreeing together against another. A lot of times it's out in the parking lot disputing about the preacher or the sermon or something else or somebody else. But disputing, whereas murmur, you can murmur by yourself. You can murmur under your breath. Hey, you can murmur through this message. You can murmur through the conference or something else. You can do that by yourself. But disputing is when you involve someone else and together you stand against another. In particular, is standing against the Father. Because the truth is at the base, behind all murmuring and behind all disputing, is a disagreement and is a complaint with God Himself. Oh, it's far beyond the preacher. It's far beyond that situation. It's far beyond that circumstance. The bottom line is when you and I go to murmuring and we even get beyond that, we go disputing, it's that we are questioning God. We are challenging the authority and the right of God to will and to do and to work to His good pleasure. And I didn't have time this morning to deal with it, but I want to say to you, joy only comes from His will and His pleasure. The pleasures of men can only produce happiness. But when you and I are in disagreement with Him and His work and His will, we begin to murmur, we begin to dispute, and it steals, it robs our joy, and we cease to enjoy joy. I'm talking about some simple things this morning. You want to enjoy joy? You're going to have to obey as a servant in all things. You want to enjoy joy this morning? Then you're going to have to live like a son that is honorable in all things. Doing all things without murmuring and disputings. Why? That you may be blameless, harmless, without rebuke. Then number three, right quick, I told you I was going to preach fast. In order to enjoy joy, you and I must shine as lights. We must shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Oh my, that's more up to date than the Caldwell County Register or whatever the paper is over here. That's more up to date than anything on Fox News this morning. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. One that is not straight. One that is in darkness. And hear me this morning, because we are in the midst of a crooked and a perverse and a darkened nation and in a darkened world, God's young'uns ought to shine as lights. Now is not the time to isolate. Now is the time to illuminate. Oh man, you're going to enjoy joy, Paul's saying. You must shine as lights. Now I remind you, the idea for shining here is reflecting. He says, whom ye shine as lights in the world. See, we're not the source. No, we're just a reflection. We're to be a reflection of the source. We're to be like the moon. The moon is the light of the night. Because the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. You and I who are in this darkened world, we like the moon, we are to reflect the light of the Oh, in. And oh my, the thing about all that is, the darker it is, the better you can see the moon. The darker it is, the brighter the moon seems to be. And oh my, in the midst of this darkened world, you and I, God's youngins, the remnant, need to be shining instead of whining for our Lord and Savior. That's how you and I enjoy joy, by shining as lights. Hey, that's what Paul and Silas were doing years ago in the Philippian jail. That's what he was doing at, that's what they was doing at midnight. And hey, I want to tell you, if anybody had had reason to dispute and find somebody to dispute with, it'd have been Paul. Because I want to tell you, if he'd wrote, he could have wrote to that crowd and said, I want to tell you, I've been mistreated down here like I've never been mistreated. That pastor over there at that church I used to pastor, he's not even come to visit me. In fact, I've been here for going on 2 years. There's another fella. He ain't even been in jail 2 weeks, and he done come to see him and still ain't come by to see me. You can apply a hospital in there if you want to, bless your heart. If anybody could have easily found somebody to dispute with, it'd have been Paul. You read these 104 verses in these four chapters. You don't find Paul disputing. You don't find Paul criticizing. No. You don't find Paul seeking to live a life that would give somebody else a rock. No. He's wanting to shine as a light. That's what got a hold of that Philippian jailer. That's what had an impact. Hey, that's what had an impact on those Roman soldiers their hearts were darkened. That there Paul was loving God and loving them even in the midst of darkness. There is a simplicity to joy. See, here's what you and I have done. We've bought into the lie of the enemy, thinking, well, that's something that's beyond us. That's something for somebody else. That's something maybe Paul could know about, but oh, here we are. We have no shot at it. No. Dear friend, it is simple. Obey as a servant. Live honorably as a son. I don't mean just live as a son, because you saved your son, you saved your daughter, but live honorably, blameless, harmless, selfless, without rebuke. Then he says, shine as a light in this darkened world. Then one last thing, verse 16, he's saying, I believe, run as victors. Now I won't confess to you, I've been wrestling. Piddling, might as well say what it is. I don't know that I've got a handle on the book of Philippians. I pray it'll somehow get a handle on me. And I confess to you, this last part of verse 16, it has been ringing my bell. It has been, well, I guess you could say it's been bugging me. Because I read this verse where Paul says, holding forth the word of life. And that's what you do. That's, by the way, that's what you do, must do to shine as a light. If you're not holding forth the word of light, word of life, you are not shining. Jokes and poems and everything else, that's not shining. No. That's man-made light. And by the way, there is a difference in light. That's why we got one of them ceiling fans with the old schoolhouse globe on the thing. That's why I got to take my socks and go into the bathroom to the bathroom window there to find out whether my socks are black or blue before I get on. Because sometimes I get to church and find out that what I thought was black, when I'd rather get out and go to church in the sunlight, not quite like it looked like there in the house. And oh my, if this darkened world is ever going to see the light, they've got to have the Word of God preached and proclaimed unto them. Amen. But it's that last part of verse 16 been plying my taters. He says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I read that, and I want to say, Paul, you surely don't mean what you said. I want to say, Paul, I want to say, Paul, have you forgotten about Lydia? I want to say, Paul, have you forgotten about that damsel that was demon-possessed and now she's delivered and now she's free? I want to say, Paul, have you forgotten about the Philippian jailer and all of his household that got in? I want to say, Paul, have you forgotten about the many missionaries the church at Philippi took on and supported when nobody else would even give them a thought? I want to say, Paul, how could you say, I have not run in vain? He says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. But that's what he said under the inspiration and the breath of the Holy Ghost. Paul says, you listening? Pretty stout. Paul says, unless you obey as a servant and live as a son and shine as a light, he's saying, I've run in vain. Run in vain. Now, I still don't know, fellas. Any of you are welcome to help me. I'll take help from anywhere. I believe I do know. I think I'm getting a better hold on what Paul was saying. I believe Paul was saying, I want to have joy, and I want to enjoy joy, and I want to see you have joy, and I want to see you enjoy joy as well. When I'm standing before Christ, I want to be able to rejoice in what God has done. And when I see you standing before Christ, I want to be able to rejoice in what God has worked in and out of you as well. Paul is saying, run as a victor, run as a victor, that you might enjoy joy. Now, here's the key to it. Running was a favorite metaphor of Paul. He loved it. Again, he mentions this thing of running. I remind you, the victor is not the one who finishes first. Because if that's your mentality, you have to settle for happiness. But the victor, in those Olympic Games, the victor's not simply this guy that finishes first, but the man that finishes with the torch still lit. Oh, you might finish way ahead of everybody else, but if somebody blowed out your torch, or to stay with the text, if you were not shining as a light, you aren't going to get the victor's crown. You weren't going to get in on the joy of victory. You know what I believe Paul is really trying to say? He's saying, run as a victor. Run as a victor. Run. In fact, in chapter 3, he's going to say it this way. I'm forgetting about all this other stuff behind me, and I'm just running. I'm just pressing toward the prize of the high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, he's saying, run. Run as a victor. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say, if you're going to know and enjoy joy, he's trying to say, run well and run faithful and keep running and keep keeping on in your race. He says that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hear me this morning, and I'm done. I know a multitude of preachers that are miserable this morning, because they're trying to run somebody else's race. Paul's saying, run your race. Paul's saying, faithfully run your course. Faithfully run your race. I want to tell you, if you here this morning, you don't even have to be a preacher, I realize that. But you try and live somebody else's life, you're not going to know joy. I doubt you're going to know any happiness. Because see, the circumstances aren't ever going to match up to what you build them up to be anyway. I'm trying to say this may help somebody this morning. I'll tell you, you can't live another man's ministry, as I heard Brother Rick say a couple weeks ago. Hey, I can't have a Bible conference just because there's a Bible conference at Calvary or over at Western Orange. Oh, no, no, no. I can't run another man's race thinking I can get in on his joy. No, what does he say in the text? Work out your own salvation. Run your own race. Oh, no. It's running the race God has set before us. And oh, my, him and the small. Hey, so, hey, there's some boys back up in the mountains around here. They never, ever have even been to a Bible conference, much less preached in a Bible conference. But they're serving God. They just plowing where God laid them to plow and gave them to serve in. And they know the joy of the Lord. That's what it means to run as a victor. It's to run well in the lane God has put you in. You better quit trying to pastor somebody else's church. You better quit trying to teach somebody else's class. You better quit trying to live somebody else's life. No, you live as a son, and you run as a victor in your lane and in your race. I know a lot of churches that are miserable. Hey, just because some other church has a van ministry doesn't mean you need to have a van ministry. I'll pray for you, Brother Jim. Just because some other church has a school doesn't mean I need to have a school. In fact, you can mark this down. You ever hear Moneyham's got a school? You can mark it down. God has audibly spoken. And I know you think I meant that humorously, but I meant that as dead serious as Jesus saved. You could try to harden it. You could try, hey, you try to preach like somebody else. Hey, let's get real practical. I might can get some happiness preaching his outlines, but I can't get joy preaching his outlines. Oh, no, no, no. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, run as a victor. Run well. He's not saying run first. See, that counters all this stuff we've already covered. That counters all this stuff about taking the lowly position and putting others first. That's how you and I run as victor, and I remind you it's possible. I remind you victory's already been won at Calvary. I remind you this. Hey, this thing's not coming down to a photo finish. Victory's already been won. Joy has already been purchased. Joy has already been promised. Joy has already been provided. You and I can enjoy joy in a simple way if we'll obey as a servant. In a simple way if we'll live as a son. In a simple way if we'll shine as a light. And in a simple way, as we'll run as a victor.